Welcome to the Domestic Fuel Cast, a podcast devoted to news and information about alternative fuels and energy, produced and hosted by Zimcom New Media.
Bundling the biomass for a cellulosic future. I'm John Davis reporting. As cellulosic ethanol plants are opening up across the country, those facilities need a way to get the feedstocks, while farmers need a way to get that biomass to those refineries. That's where Pacific Ag comes in. As CEO Bill Levy explains, the company that started in 1998 and first used to bale crop residues into animal feed now is using the same principles to use what's left in the field to turn into the green fuel.
Since the first days of Pacific Ag, we have always been focused on removing residue and making sure that we have a balanced residue program for growers and that we're finding value for those products for them. And so again, you know, that core competency of really the service of removing the right amount of residue was something that was easy to, in some respects it was really difficult, but in many respects it was very easy to take what we had learned in the Northwest and start doing the same activities in the Midwest for these projects. It's the fundamentals of having residue removed on a timely basis and in a sustainable way is really the same whether you're in the Northwest, California, Kansas, or Iowa. And today we're in North Carolina, Iowa, Kansas, and California in the Northwest. And, you know, I think there's a little differences in everywhere we operate. There certainly is a unique set of challenges in each place, but the fundamentals have not changed, which is that there is a great opportunity to take residue and create, you know, something of value from that. And that's an exciting trend.
Levy's colleague, Steve Van Mallerick, Vice President of Operations for Pacific Ag, echoes Levy's sentiments, pointing out that Pacific Ag helps producers determine the amount of residue to be taken and the amount to be left behind so those fields can still benefit from the nutrients in the crop residue.
The best practices begin with asking a question, not how much can I take, but how much am I leaving placed here that provides the precisely exact amount of residue that fits the grower's needs and the soil health requirements. So the first principle of best practices, it's not about what you take, it's about what you leave.
He says then it's just a matter of realizing that there are many moving parts of the biomass logistics chain, including the fact that there will be some producers in areas quicker to adopt than others, and farmers will be harvesting at different times.
First, we have to understand and anticipate the variable adoption rates of different growers that creates an early scattering of participating growers and fields. And then secondly, we want to consider, again, answering this question in terms of the logistics, what's the movement of the field of the material? What's the movement of the material from the field itself to field side? What's the movement among fields and growers to be harvested? And then, of course, what are the logistics of moving that baled and stacked material to an ethanol production facility across a year's calendar by the most efficient methods or paths?
Levy says Pacific Ag tries to make it easier for the producers who will be growing the feedstock his company, Custom Bales.
Well, we have tried to make it easy for growers to be a part of the program by, you know, taking care of the harvest. We own the machinery. We schedule the harvest, the removal of the residue or energy crop with the grower, and then we provide them with an income stream for that product. And I think that it's very important that we have the size that allows us to invest in that equipment. And a lot of times it doesn't make sense financially for a grower to invest in that harvest equipment just to harvest the residue. And so that's a key part of, I think, what growers enjoy is that they really do or really are able to sit back and enjoy a residue removal program and the income from that, but not have to put a lot of effort into it.
And he urges producers considering having their field residues harvested for cellulosic ethanol production to consider easing into the commitment to make sure it's right for their operation.
We do need more biomass, and what I would urge growers to do is they don't have to decide to harvest their entire farm. They can decide that they want to do 20% or 10% of their acres, but they should try it, because I think we're performing a residue management system, really, that's different than what has been done before, where we really are looking at the sustainable ways to do it long term and where it benefits the grower. And so I would encourage growers to try it, you know, and if one field is too many, try half a field. You know, let's do a test, you know, let's do half a field, and then the other half, you know, we'll remove no residue, and you can see the differences yourself, because we're seeing amazing results. We're seeing better yields, we're seeing less pest pressure, less disease issues, better stands, better emergence. And I think we're really just seeing a lot of success.
Ann Van Mallerick advises the cellulosic biofuels industry not to assume the same givens the grain to biofuels industry has.
Do not assume a ready market for cellulosic feedstock like there is for grain crops and commodities. In fact, what I feel strongly is needed for our industry to succeed is a dedicated supply chain model. And it's an approach, really a choice in a supply shed, around which you can get consistent supply at reliable costs and reliable quality. And that is, those are the principles upon which Pacific Ag has built its success. And certainly, you know, we enjoy a momentum in feedstock development and feedstock procurement in these early projects for the cellulosic ethanol industry that reflect the strength and the value of that approach.
Both Van Mallerick and Levy believe that with Pacific Ag's experience, having the largest fleet of biomass harvesters out there, the ability to compact the residue to get the most out of each bale, and being able to see the whole system and understand how forces work in field residue and cellulosic biofuels markets give their company a great leg up in this emerging cellulosic capability. I'm John Davis reporting.
You've been listening to the Domestic Fuel Cast, the official podcast of DomesticFuel.com. Check out the website daily for the latest good news about the alternative energy industry.